This episode brought to you by Audible.
Okay, so you go to audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin, and then you get a free trial of Audible.
Okay, you did go with the URL. It's 30 days free and a book to get you started. And for your book recommendation, I honestly don't know who's getting it. Is it Mikey? Is it Jen? Is it Mikey? Is it Jen? Is it Mikey? Is it Jen?
I
read a book.
It's called Go Dog Go. Yeah,
that's a good joke.
It is a good joke. That's why I'm the funny one, motherfuckers.
And for your book recommendation, Mikey.
I read a romantic book for a book club I joined. It's called One Day in December.
Mikey is single. Ladies.
It's One Day in December by Josie Silver. It's about romance and love, and it skips around in these people's lives, and they fall in love and all that stuff.
And calendars.
I thought it was really sweet.
Yeah. Nice.
It was better than a Hallmark movie.
Well, thank you, Mikey. That was a fantastic recommendation.
Episode also brought to you by Nick B.
Nick B, I love you.
Oh, wow. That things got real quick.
I
thought you were going to say .com, but you professed love for Nick B. Yeah. And in all fairness, he could get it. And Nick B wants you guys to know about God Country.
.com.
Actually, I think it's godcountryfilm.com, but you're close.
God dang it.
I know. But, guys, you can follow them on Twitter and Instagram, too.
Yeah, at God Country Film.
Yes.
Yes. So, guys, they're trying to get a movie funded. It's your friends from Modern Horrors, Luke and Jacob. They're the producers on the piece.
They're your friends, too, right?
Are they? So, guys, check out God Country. It's an awesome film that's getting funded right now through Seed and Spark.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, they're getting really close to their goal. So
they are.
If you want to be a part of that and get on the ground floor, do it now. Thank you, Nick B, for being our Burn It Down Patreon subscriber. If you want your very own weekly shout out on the podcast, go to patreon.com/horrorvirgin and sign up at that level with Nick B, and he won't be so lonely. I did it for the rhyme.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
Things rhyme, and I have a good time.
Hi, can you bring in that theme music, please?
I'll think about it.
Start from the beginning, Mike.
All right, so
the joke is, no, please don't.
That's the real Jen. That's the real Jen, guys.
That's right. Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody. Yeah. I'm Jen, and I just put the timer on, so we are going for it.
It is no longer Women of Horror Month, Jen. You can no longer treat us like this.
I'm going to live all year like it's Women in Horror Month.
That is true, guys.
Yeah.
And you should, Jen.
I should, yeah. I'm Jen.
I am your Horror Virgin, Todd. And with us, as always, is...
I'm Mikey.
What is happening right now?
That's breaking news. That's the sound of
breaking
news.
Okay. Horror Virgin breaking news.
I didn't realize we had this segment.
We opened an investigation months ago.
Did we?
Yeah, with our Child's Play episode. And I would just like everyone to know we have cracked the case of whether Susan Sarandon and Chris Sarandon are related.
They have to be related.
I know everybody has been wondering about this whole time.
Sarandon is not...
We're the only ones who can ever dig up this information. And we have.
To Google.
That's true.
Our private detective, Mr. Google, came back to us.
I think it's pronounced Google.
Google.
Googly.
And 0.000042 milliseconds.
Ooh, okay, so Chris,
what is your news?
Chris and Susan Sarandon.
Yes.
Not brother and sister.
I feel like we should be doing this like it's on Maury. You guys are not related.
They are not brother and sister.
They just happen to have the same last name?
No, they were married.
What?
Were they married
this
when this
is brand new information?
So she took his name.
Yes.
And then kept it.
Yes.
And then became more famous with his name.
Yeah.
That is dirty AF. I love Susan Sarandon more right now. So yeah.
We watched Fright Night, and I was so excited. I chose this movie because it's one of my all-time favorite
movies.
Yeah,
it's in your top five.
It's actually the first horror movie I ever saw when I was like 8, probably around the time it came to Blockbuster.
Ooh,
back
8's a little young for this.
It is a little young.
And that is why...
the shit out of me.
Did it?
It did.
It's not very scary.
It's not. Okay, so when I was 8,
did
I watched...
Did it scare you because you were just coming into your femininity dude can wear a sweater?
No, I didn't realize how hot he was until I was older.
Oh, yeah. He's hot, man.
She was 8, Todd.
I had a thing for William Ragsdale for a while, too.
What?
He's dreamy if you're like 10.
Yeah, because he acts like a 10-year-old the whole film.
He's not wrong.
I watched this movie at a slumber party with my friend, when I was like in third or fourth grade. So anyways, we watched this movie at her house because she had older brothers and sisters, and it scared the shit out of me, and my parents were kind of pissed. But this was the first horror movie I'd ever seen, and I fell in love with it. It's awesome. I love it. I took it really seriously back then. And now I'm watching it now and it seems like
it's
really
funny to me that you took this movie seriously because it's funny.
It is
this
funny.
This is like a comedy.
But I didn't think it was a comedy back then. I'd like, this is where all of my knowledge of vampires came from too.
I watched this movie because both my parents said that they really liked this movie when they were growing up. I ended up watching it as a kid, probably like around the same age, a little older, mm-hmm. probably like 12 or something. And I really liked it too. And it wasn't as scary, but it felt like I'm not supposed to be watching it.
This is my first time watching it and I liked it. Yeah. I mean, it's a funny movie. It's like on the level of Tremors and Leslie Vernon. I don't think it's trying to be a comedy so much. I think it was trying to be more serious,
kinda
but
like
it's just sort of funny
type comedy.
Yeah.
It's like an homage to Horror Hosts. And,
no, I think yes. Todd put it perfectly when he said it was like an adult Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. It's in a mm-hmm. more adult Hocus Pocus.
Like Hocus Pocus with boobs.
Oh, so let's get into this fucking movie.
All right. So we start outside on a residential street and we're hearing what kind of sounds like a horror movie, maybe porn. And we are kind
it is sort of horror movie porn-ish.
Most porn adjacent. Bad horror movies do appear to be porn most of the time.
Especially when they're like vampire movies.
Mm-hmm. How did I not get into this when I was growing up? Like that sounds right in my wheelhouse.
Your horror fears you've definitely glanced over stuff because most badly acted horror movies are just porn that with no sex ever happens.
Well, then why would I watch them?
The sex is the vampires.
All right, so it's zooming in to like this guy's window.
Yes.
And we're watching on our TV, mm-hmm. a TV playing like the beginning intro of what's going to be like a B-horror movie with Bobo Vincent Price, whatever this guy's name is.
Who's
like
a main... Peter Vincent.
He's like a main character and he does great. I just can't ever remember his name because they want him to be Vincent Price.
Well, yeah, his name was inspired by Vincent Price and Peter Cushing, who's another...
Yeah, I've heard the name.
He was Tarkin in Star Wars.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah,
well, so that's where his name came from.
But anyway, so it zooms out from that TV and shows the bed.
Yeah.
No one on the bed.
No.
And then we see two teenagers getting it on.
On four pillows.
Yeah, so they're making out, and then they get up for some reason. Oh, no, she pushes him off. She's like, oh, look, Peter Vincent.
Yeah, because he's trying
not
to...
want to have sex with
him. Oh, yeah, he's trying to make the moves. Yeah.
He's trying to finger blast this chick, and she's having none of it.
No, she's trying to go home base style.
I honestly think all he was trying to do was put his hand up her shirt. And if we've been dating a year, Mikey, and I can't touch some of those sweet boobs, it's over.
Todd, why would you buy this cow if I'm going to give you the milk for free?
True.
Well, Mikey, what you've got, I'm buying.
Aww. Team couch.
It's 3% whole.
3%.
I think what you meant to say was inches. Guys.
Around.
So Charlie's saying, we've been going out for a year and you still keep, all I hear is no, no, no. And she's like, but I'm allowed to say no. And
yeah,
okay.
Because I'm a woman and I have my own agency.
I'm in high school.
Yeah.
I might
be too young to get pregnant, you monster.
Right.
There's a lot of emotional, physical responsibility.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't like how this movie started.
Yeah. Well, then, okay. So then he gets up and he's like, whatever, blah. And then she gets in bed and takes her top off.
She feels guilty because now she feels like he's going to dump her.
Yeah. And this teenage boy, when his girlfriend decides to put out for the first time, decides to get out military grade binoculars
and look out
and
the window,
peep on people who are way too close. Like you could see those dudes with the naked eye.
Yeah.
You don't need binoculars to count the pores on their nose.
Depends on what you're looking for.
Checking out those Sarandon bulge.
I mean,
so he gets the binoculars out and he says, the neighbors are moving a casket into the basement.
She's naked.
She's
not naked.
Charlie, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the first time, Charlie. He's like, no, there's really a casket down in the basement.
Oh, because there's a casket on the movie screen, too. So she's like, no. Are you sure it's not Peter Vincent? So now she's thinking he's just lost interest because she said no that one time.
I mean, clearly he did lose interest. She's right.
Wait, hear me out here. Is the vampire the hero for like stopping her from having guilt sex with the boyfriend?
No.
No, because then they have hero saved me sex at the end. So
hero saved me sex. So they go downstairs.
Yeah, because she
storms out of the room and he's like, no, honey, Amy.
And then she starts yelling about how she wants to make love with him and she thought he did you in front of his mom.
I thought he was going to kind of be like, cool it, bitch, my mom's on the couch.
Uh-huh.
And then the mom goes, what are you lovers fighting about?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And then she proceeds to give them relationship advice. And we know at this point that she has not been successful in her marriage.
But mom is curiously interested in this relationship that her teenage son is having in a closed bedroom upstairs.
I think she is appropriately interested.
Yeah.
Because she, as the mom, should stop them from doing what they were trying to do or what Charlie was trying to have them do.
Yet she wasn't concerned with any of that. She said, you know, 70% of couples divorce if they don't argue before marriage.
Yeah.
Does she say that?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. When he goes to the window and he's peeping across,
he's like,
on.
We're in high school, mom. Ugh.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I'm not thinking about marrying Amy. I'm just thinking about getting up in them guts.
She's like, I just don't want your lovers to fight in my house. And I was just like, this is a weird family dynamic.
It is. Kind of
it's
a
weird that she's
dynamic.
Okay. She doesn't want them to fight, but she's on board for them boning in the house.
I'm anti the word lovers.
I am too. Also, make love. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Yeah.
I like making love.
I like doing it.
So he's looking out the window in like the living room area.
Ground floor.
Yeah, the mom is like laying on the couch talking about like you should argue before you get married. And he's just like, no, there's like someone moving a casket into the cellar down across the street. And she's like, oh, the new neighbors.
Yeah.
I don't know why she's British. She's not British, guys.
Also, Charlie's dressed in a collared button down, tucked into his jeans the whole movie.
Yeah, Charlie's dressed like he's 48 years old and has a respectable job and drives a Dodge Stratus all the time.
So he's looking out of the house and he's like, mom, why don't you tell me we have new neighbors?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like Charlie.
I like how she doesn't accuse them of being a gay couple. She's just like, he is like a live-in carpenter.
Yeah. No, she does. Just she by goes, luck, they're probably gay.
Oh, yeah.
She does. No, in my life.
Oh, does she say
she
that?
She does say that.
Oh, yeah. So she's cougaring hard in this scene.
She is.
I did not realize that.
She's trying to live vicariously through Charlie and Amy's relationship.
Oh, yeah. That's I feel weird about that. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I just think it's gross. So Charlie's looking out the window, paying attention to the neighbors, and Amy's like, hey, I'm going to go. I guess I'll just see you at school. And he's like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And then she storms out, and the mom's like, well, that was mean, Charlie. And then it cuts to the school the next day.
Yeah, Charlie and her have relationship difficulties throughout
the whole movie.
They do.
Because he treats her like shit.
Yeah, kind of.
He has ADHD. I have ADHD.
So do I.
So, like, I get it. You're trying to, like, make out with your girlfriend, somebody's moving across, casket across the street, you get distracted. Yeah.
Peter Vincent's on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to
concentrate.
He's got
the TV on, the pee in the neighbors, there's like a lot of distractions. He's not taking his Adderall. I'll slow down.
You're gonna give Mikey some Adderall.
So yeah, at school we meet Evil, their friend.
Yes, we do.
Right?
Wearing some kind of Michael Jackson jacket, sweatshirt.
He is seen only in suspenders.
He is.
I don't understand
him. Suspenders. These are like faux suspenders.
I know.
They start at the top of his shoulder and they go down right around his.
I don't think.
No, they're all the way down, but I don't think they connect to his pants.
I don't think they do. I think the latch is like right in the mid chest, and then they just stop.
It honestly is like,
and that's
someone...
why his pants keep falling down.
It is. I swear to God, it is like just plastic stapled onto a cloth shirt.
Anyway, I don't think Evil was their friend because he comes up, he's mean to Charlie. Everybody's like, get away from me, you weirdo, because he is
He's
terrible.
Definitely their friend, but
he's
is terrible.
No,
he's
not
like
their friend.
The friend that they're friends with in middle school, and then he still stays kind of weird, and then they like...
He is chewing up scenery the whole time with those gross-ass teeth.
He reminded me of like Bobcat Goldthwait's
his
son.
His regular teeth were scary.
Before he had like worked on his act.
If Bobcat Goldthwait's son was really overly sexual and gross, absolutely, yeah.
His vampire teeth were nicer looking than his
regular
teeth.
I was about to say, he's the only character whose vampire teeth are better than his regular teeth.
We should be a little nice to him, though, because he wanted to audition for Charlie, and they told him that they wanted to cast him as Evil, and he got his feelings hurt.
He's still got a role in a major motion picture.
True.
He should shut up and take the gift that was given to him.
Well, he did. You know,
yeah, I mean, he wasn't bad.
He seems really, yeah, he seems like a cool person.
No, he does not.
And he gives the best line of the film. You're so cool, Brewster, which I wrote at the top of my book.
His name is Bruce. Their last name is Brewster. Yeah. I hated that.
Charlie's last name is Brewster. Him and his mom.
Yeah.
Punky.
Yeah, his mom's Punky Brewster.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't like it.
Okay, so Charlie gets home from school. This scantily clad blonde, very, very pretty. Yeah,
she is super hot. I don't find blonde super attractive, and she could get it.
Yeah, but she was dressed like a sex worker.
I mean, but we do find out later she is a sex worker.
Yeah.
But, you know, who orders their sex worker for like 2:30 in the afternoon?
Well, not a vampire.
Because he's asleep. It's the daytime.
I know. You know who got that sex worker. It was the carpenter guy.
Carpenter Bacon.
Yeah. Oh,
he was, I don't know if he was into that.
Maybe
sort
Jerry
of
wanted
thing.
To be.
You think the carpenter's gay?
Absolutely.
The relationship was actually written to be a homosexual relationship.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but neither of the actors picked up on it until later on.
Oh, I honestly didn't pick up on it either.
Yeah, he's always holding his chest. They're like looking out the window like an Olin Mills photography.
I mean, I don't think you have to read it that way. And I don't think it really makes a difference with the movie. But yeah, that was the way it was written.
He likes wood. He's a carpenter.
Oh, my God. I love it. So, yeah, I mean, apparently, either way, the sex worker goes to the other house.
Yes.
She asks Mikey. Not Mikey.
Charlie. She asked Charlie.
Yeah. Mikey, I see you in this movie. She asked Charlie if the address is his house. He's like, no, it's the
and
one
I was
next
like,
door.
Oh, gosh, lady. That's next door.
Anyway, so she goes to the vampire house.
Yes. And then later we see Amy and Charlie at the Max.
What's
and
the Max? I
never the Max from like, Saved by the Bell. It is straight up the Max from Saved by the Bell for it sure. Is. It is.
Yeah. And so she's trying to make up with him and she because she was mad at him for not paying attention to her. And so as she's trying to make up with him, he sees the sex worker picture that he just saw on the street the other day on the news as somebody who was just murdered.
He doesn't
and he
just,
straight up just gets up and walks away. And if you're her, you see that he saw a picture of a pretty blonde on TV and just gets up and follows his dick over to watch.
I'm just sorry. Now I get to see Charlie like led by his dick.
Oh, like in Wayne's World.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like dick o'clock over there.
I will defend Charlie a bit here.
What?
I've been on dates where there's like a wall of television.
Oh my
the dam,
God, Mikey.
And I'm just like, it's like a squirrel. I'm like,
Mikey, stop going to Hooters on your dates.
No, but like, you know, any bar has a lot of TVs.
Stop going to bars on your dates.
I'm not spending a lot of money on a first date.
Go to a coffee shop, you monster.
And you're single? Jen, we'll take care of it.
We need to have you with like an earpiece and then we'll be in the bushes outside, like listening and helping you out.
Like a little
like,
angel like, and the devil on your shoulder.
Do you fight the patriarchy?
Yeah. Jen's all like, ask her if she believes that women should get equal pay. And I'm over here like, yo, dude, tell her she could get it. Exactly.
That would be really fun. Yeah, so she gets real mad and smashes the sloppy joe in his face.
She said, this relationship is over.
Honestly, she never breaks up with him. And she should have twice by this point.
Yeah.
And we're 3 minutes into the movie.
That's true, yeah.
And at the Max, she apologizes to him.
She does.
Which is insane. Anyway, let's move on.
All right, so the next thing, basically the next thing we see is he's asleep in his room. He's got his porn on the floor and his binoculars in his hand and his quilt over him sitting in a chair by the window.
But he's still dressed in a button down shirt tucked into his jeans with shoes on.
Yeah. Probably white sneakers.
He's dressed like a 45-year-old man. Yeah.
He always looks like he's about to go to Radio Shack.
So he sees Jerry somehow to Radio Shack?
Yeah.
He sees Jerry through the window and he's got a girl.
Oh, yeah. And this is a good scene.
No, she's
guys.
Taking her shirt off.
She is taking her
she
shirt
is.
Off. And then
she has her own agency.
She does.
She takes her own bra off and shows. So Charlie is in the window looking over there. Mm-hmm. And at first you might be like, maybe they can't see Charlie, but when Chris Sarandon orbs up on her, he sees Charlie. So she can definitely see Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
And she looking Charlie in the eyes from across the way is like, look at my boobles.
Are you sure?
Because I don't think she sees him yet because she's blinded by the beauty of Chris Sarandon.
Yeah, she's glamored, right? Yeah. So she isn't under her.
I think it's pronounced glamoured.
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 Yeah.
So then Chris Sarandon comes up behind him and he like basks his fangs in the moonlight and then he's about to go. And I love
honestly, there should have been one of those bling. Saw him and then bit like, oh my God, that would have been so funny.
So he's about to bite her in the shoulder and I love this because he's biting and then he just looks up and he freezes and he slowly, every time Chris Sarandon does anything in this movie, I'm like.
There are so many scenes where Prince Humperdinck is like doing things and it goes on way too long.
So anyways, he eyes up and he sees Charlie and then he slowly long fingernail pulls the shade down.
Yeah. And then they find out the next morning that that chick got murdered.
Yeah. This is when he sees the coffin getting pulled out or the bags and then he throws the purse.
Yeah. That's that night.
But that's the chick. We just saw her boobles,
yeah,
right?
But then he goes down, he freaks out and yells at his mom.
Yeah, somebody's getting killed over there. Yeah, and then he goes out and hides in the bushes and looks through the little bush hole.
Oh my God. I've never heard bush hole before, but that's what I'm going to call vaginas from now on.
She immediately caught that and before we did.
Yeah.
So he's hiding and he's looking at them because he's just seen them carry out bags that may or may not be a body. And then he says, oh, you forgot one thing. And he throws her purse to him and he like weirdly catches it.
No, it's a magical throw.
It's like a stunt catch or something.
It is like a stunt catch.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
ridiculous.
So we can see what it is. And then Jerry just like baller walks out eating his apple. So then his mom opens the door and totally blows up a spot.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie, where are you, Charlie? And then
she is a mom. Like that's legit what they
sound
like.
That's what you do. So then... anyways, so his mom's calling for him, and then that's when Chris Randon sees him and starts walking up and like baller throws his apple.
He throws his apple at him in the weirdest power move ever.
The most awesome power. Well, I'm not the most awesome power move, because we're going to see that later.
There are much better power moves. He throws his apple at him. Why would you do that?
To let him know that he saw him.
And Chris Sarandon is eating an apple or fruit in every scene you see him in.
When he's not actually a vampire, when he doesn't have that vampire face, he's eating a fruit.
Why is he doing that?
First of all, I have to note how he ate the apple. Did you notice he ate the middle of it out, the core of it? Yeah. Baller.
That's real gross.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I only eat stem.
Gross. Okay, so anyways, yeah, this was an intentional choice for him to be eating fruit all the time, and I didn't know this until I'd heard this fact. When they were filming this, the director, Tom Holland, encouraged them all to write backstories, and one of his backstories was that he was part fruit bat, so he liked to eat fruit as like,
oh my God,
palate cleansers. Yeah, after he'd like eaten people, you know?
So he was a fruit bat.
That he was part
is
fruit bat.
Hilarious.
That is real funny, yeah. But anyway, so Chris Sarandon's walking towards the bush where he threw his apple, where Charlie is, and then as he gets closer and closer, Charlie pops up and runs away like a child.
Yeah, what is it? The actor invented Charlie's backstory as being just like a terrible
runner?
Yeah.
And person.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a bad dude.
I wear coats and I'm scared.
He actually broke his ankle on set at one point, so that might be whenever
He's running so gingerly.
That might be part of why, yeah. I think it was like mid-production that he broke his ankle, so I'm not exactly sure when everything was filmed. But yeah, the next major thing that happens is that he tells his mom and he tells Amy, and they're like, Charlie, vampires don't exist. You're crazy.
You're watching, you're thinking this is a TV show. This is not the Bobo Vincent Price TV show.
Right. And so then he says,
which is called Fright Night. I don't know why I couldn't remember the name of the show. It's the name of the movie.
Exactly. That's why at the end he says it's Fright Night for real, because that's the name of his show.
Yeah, exactly. My mind was like, what is the name of that fucking show? Oh, it's the name of the movie.
Yeah. So he decides he's going to go to the cops, and he's not going to say anything about vampires. He's just going to say they're murdered. So the next thing we see is,
this is ridiculous. Yeah. If you go to the cops and are like, hey, my neighbor murdered somebody, this cop is like, did he? Well, come on with me. We'll go find out together.
Exactly. Let's go confront a murderer together in his own house.
That's insane. Yeah. So he takes Charlie to his neighbor's house and said, hey, your neighbor, this guy right next to me, said you murdered somebody. Mm-hmm. Do me a favor. Tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. And then if you lie to me, don't retaliate.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
And I'll definitely believe you if you just say something.
Yeah. So that is insane.
Until I started doing this podcast, I didn't realize how big of a horror trope it is that, like, law enforfement is so ridiculously bad at their job.
They're so bad.
Not just, like, they don't believe in monsters, but, like, oh, you think you witnessed a murder? Come, let's go talk to the guy about it.
This is the first time we see the inside of Chris Sarandon's house.
Yes, and it's got statues and cobwebs. Yeah, it's artifacts.
They just moved in, and there's already cobwebs everywhere.
And giant bowls of fruit.
I think the cobwebs were there first, and they moved the stuff around it.
No, I think they brought those cobwebs.
Yeah, I think they brought in the cobwebs and put them up.
They're goth. They got like dried roses on the wall.
That's what the carpenter does when the vampire's sleep. Gotta put out the creepy spider webs.
They're listening to My Chemical Romance 15 years early.
I love My Chemical Romance.
That does
so
not
much.
Surprise me at all.
Ugh. Oh, Gerard Way can get it.
So this is the first time we see the inside of his house. There's like a bunch of clocks on the wall, and it is just generally not spooky, but creepy.
Yes.
So he's talking to the carpenter, right? Mm-hmm. And Charlie is like, yeah, and this is when him and the vampire guy who also lives here, and the cop is like, whoa, 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 wait a second.
Yeah, Charlie waited exactly 10 seconds into accusing them of murder and be like, no, they're actually a vampire, and he sucked the blood. And the cop's
they
like,
sucked the blood of the undead.
Honestly, the cop handles it the way a cop should have handled it back at the precinct.
At the station, yes.
Yeah, and been like, oh, wait, the vampires don't exist. We're going to leave you alone, Carpenter Man. So once the cop is like, oh, wait, vampires? We got to get out of here. He apologized to the carpenter for whatever, for wasting his time, and then they bone out.
So Charlie leaves slowly, and the carpenter slowly follows him, giving this weird look to him the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then his smile slowly fades in the window.
Yeah, he's like, a grimace. Yeah.
I really like the carpenter. I think he's really interestingly menacing.
He is. He is menacing. I don't hate him in this movie.
Nobody in this movie that I think does a bad job.
I don't quite understand what he is, because I thought he was like the human familiar. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. But he's not.
No, he is. He is. He just didn't. He doesn't turn him until he turns Evil Ed. So then the carpenter's what the fuck? Why are you going to turn this kid?
And so we just don't see that part. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
He gets a promotion, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So the cop leaves. And then Charlie goes to ask Evil Ed for help, and Evil Ed takes $8 to give Charlie some vampire advice.
Evil Ed charges for vampire advice?
No, he goes, I'll take a fool's money. But then
far be it from me to separate
Charlie
a fool and
watched
his money.
All these movies, so he knows what kills vampires.
Yeah. Evil watches all these movies too.
Has he watched these movies, or is Evil just single? So when everyone's watching them, he actually learns that Charlie's making out with Amy, so he's not really paying attention.
No, I don't believe it. The most unrealistic part of this movie is not the vampires.
It's that Charlie has a girlfriend?
Exactly. It's 100% that. There's no way it happened.
I had a huge crush on Charlie back then.
You were 8. You didn't know what attractive was.
True. Yeah. But he does give him the advice of he can't come in your house unless you invite him.
Right.
And he's like, it's genius. Perfect. I'm safe forever.
Wrap it up, boys.
Right.
Credits. But he also tells him about garlic, and he tells him about holy water, and tells him about crosses.
Yes.
So it's not just the you can't invite him in, but when Charlie goes home, guess who his cougar of a mom invited inside?
Well, he's up there. He's boarding up his windows.
Yeah, nailing them shut.
Hey, Charlie, come on down to meet somebody. And so Jerry's sitting in the chair like baller tapping his fingers on the chair, and then he jerries around and looks his dreamy Sarandonness.
She's actually like miming this out while talking about
it. Because I love it.
It's quite a sight to see, guys.
I mean, seriously, anytime Chris Sarandon does anything in this movie, it's just like he is a baller. He is awesome.
He's dreamy. I understand how he got Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. He touched her.
Touch me.
I want to get dirty.
Here's another scene full of awkward eye contact. Because if I was Charlie's mom, I'd be like, why are you guys not breaking eye contact?
Mm-hmm. And even though she's drinking some sort of alcoholic beverage, she's still super thirsty for Chris.
She is. She's wearing her 50s style mom dress.
Oh, she's dressed like Audrey Hepburn in the 50s. Like, which I think is super cute, super sexy, sort of like Mad Men-ish style. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
Man, if you were like a single woman who's inviting over an age-appropriate gentleman who just moved in next
door.
Who
looks like Chris Sarandon.
Yeah! You would definitely dress up, put on a good face, wear a little perfume, bend over a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, you would just...
I dropped my drink.
You would leave with the good...
You would spill your drink, Jen.
No, I spilled my drink.
You would definitely spill it all over his shirt and be like, oh, let me launder that for you. Oh, Jen is saying that she would spill that.
I dropped my drink in the bush hole.
I'm out.
Too far.
I'm out.
Too far.
Oh, that's too far. Excuse me.
I love that they do this because it solves that problem of having to be invited in and we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Immediately. But like, it's literally the next scene. He learns the rule and then mom immediately ruins it.
Right. Exactly. And he says, well, now that I've been invited, I might just stop over whenever I want. And she's like, oh, yes. My bedroom is the third door on the right.
Oh, and he knows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He gives her a look up and down.
It's at this point that Charlie starts sweating in the film and doesn't stop until the movie's over.
He does not stop sweating. Yeah.
He's profusely sweating.
He is super nervous.
But mom is barking up the wrong fruit. Oh. Bat.
I think Jerry would do the mom.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think, and this is maybe a little bit of a controversial hot take from Todd. Hot takes from Todd. But I do think, much like, not to call another Sarandon movie out, but much like Dr. Frankenfurter, I feel like Chris Sarandon in this movie goes both ways.
He's very pansexual.
He's just oozing sexuality, and he will use sex to get whatever he wants, which the glamour, as you said, Mikey, is how they do that.
So he's been invited into the house. He said, oh, I'm just going to stop by whenever I want. And so the next thing we see
is Charlie sweating in the corner of his room.
That's true.
The next thing we see is Chris Sarandon in the mom's bedroom while she's sleeping in sort of a very sexy is it sexy?
And she's got her sleep mask too.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm super into blindfolded
chicks. So we see Bird Box is his favorite movie.
Never seen it.
So,
but this is where we see Chris Sarandon in the mom's bedroom, and he's like walking out of like her bathroom or something. And
he went in through her window because Charlie boarded his window up and
that's
put like holy water and crosses or whatever.
Yeah, and she's asleep, doesn't realize that Chris is in his room, because if the mom realized Chris was in the room, she would have ripped more than just the blindfold off to try and convince him to stay the night.
And he walks up to her and he looks down and like, I'll come back and get that later.
You could get it, ma'am.
And then I'll take that to go.
And then he walks by and he slowly closes the door, and you caught this, that you don't see him in the in the mirror.
There's a lot of really good mirror work in this, and I mean that in the sense that you see everyone else in the mirror except for the vampire. It's really, it's done very well for the 80s.
I would say most of the effects hold up in this film and it still looks pretty good.
There's only very, very few effects that don't look great.
I agree.
Yeah.
For a movie from the
80s. Yeah. Yeah. I think we talked about this when we talked about The Thing. Practical effects, if they're done very, very well, hold up so much better than early CGI did.
Fun fact, the effects team in this movie had just come from doing the effects in Ghostbusters. And so they like learned a lot of stuff
on that movie.
So they came to this movie and they were just ready to go.
Huh. Nice. All right, cool.
I don't know. And so then he closes the door real hard so that he jams the door.
The door.
Yeah. And then walks into Charlie's room. And Charlie has been hearing noises and he's creeping around in the hall. So Chris Sarandon is able to just sneak into his closet.
Charlie's like broken at this point. He's like, he's just sweating, like sleeping and like nightmaring.
Well, he's not in his room, but his room has to be 1,000 degrees. Yeah. So he walks in all sweaty and he's looking out the window because Chris Sarandon's house is out his window.
And he sees the light in Chris Sarandon's room go off. And so then
he hears a scream and the light goes out, right?
Safe. Yeah.
And then his closet opens, right? Mm-hmm. And you see Chris Sarandon walk up behind him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very sexual.
I'd like to talk about something here because this vampire is not a bad vampire because he doesn't immediately try to kill this kid. He goes, look, I'm going to give you a choice.
He strikes a deal with him.
Yeah. That I didn't have. Yeah.
I won't kill you if you just leave me alone.
Yeah. You forget about me. I'll forget about you.
In what movie does the bad guy come out and be like, just leave me alone and I won't kill you?
I mean, absolutely. He's like, listen, I'll definitely bang your mom a lot, but I'm not going to kill you.
And I won't kill your mom either.
It's like, you know, any other stepfather story.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie doesn't take the offer.
No, he doesn't. He tries to get the cross.
And he's like,
he does try to get the cross.
Oh, does he?
That's
the cross?
How Chris Sarandon knows that he's not going to.
No, I thought he knew because he stabbed him in the hand with a pencil.
He stabs him after he grabs the cross.
That's when Chris Sarandon throws him into the closet.
Why do you guys think Charlie didn't take this deal?
Because he fights for what is good and evil.
Does he?
Like a knight in shining armor.
No.
From a long time ago.
But Charlie's character hasn't been brave at all in any way,
and never is brave going forward.
Yeah. This doesn't make any sense in the movie.
There is no hero's journey character arc for Charlie in this movie at all.
I wonder if he gets halfway through the movie and he's like, man, I should have just taken that fucking deal.
I would have been like, you know what? It sucks that people are getting murdered, but...
Yeah,
dude, 3 minutes later when he's getting choke slammed through his window, he's rethinking the deal he did not take.
Yeah.
Oh, the hero journey in this is Bobo Vinton Price.
Yes. It really is.
100%.
That's why when she was like, the hero sex, I was like, there's only one hero, and it's
Bobo Vinton Price. Yeah.
This is the scene that I remember as being just terrifying for me when he's in the room and he's starting to kind of like slightly turn into a vampire.
It's creepy at first, and then...
I mean, if you're 8, she saw it first when she was 8.
Then I continued to watch it a little bit. Like, and I used to watch this a lot when I was little, and then I went for probably like 10 years and didn't see it. And then I had Corey watch it with me one night because I was like, oh, this is one of my favorite movies.
We're
going to like show it together, or I was going to share it with him. We were like halfway through and he's like, you know, this is kind of silly, right? And I was
dare
you? This is my favorite movie ever. And then I was like, yeah, it kind of is.
But that's okay. It could be silly.
It is.
I would have watched this movie very differently or had a very different feeling if I had watched this when I was 8.
Right. Well, and it was the first horror movie I'd ever seen too. So like
this scene holds tension. I mean, he tries to make a deal. He reaches for the cross. He almost breaks his arm. He drops the cross, almost kills him, grabs a pencil, then stabs him in the hand. This is when the scene loses it.
Yeah. So for the record, Charlie grabs the pencil, stabs Chris Sarandon in the hand.
Yeah. And then
he doesn't stab through and kill himself with his pencil.
I know, because his hand on his neck. Yeah, absolutely.
But then the vampire spins away, oddly, and then...
it's a weird character choice for the vampire.
Like, ew, you've stabbed me in the hand. And then
why would you do that?
And then the scene goes on for like a whole minute of them just making eye contact while his hand
is stabbed. This is what I mean. There are so many scenes that go on way too long and you're like, what is happening right now?
Even Jin was like, why didn't you just murder him now?
And I'm
like,
exactly. Because he's turned into full vampire once he gets hand stabbed. And then he hears the mom who's woken up because all of the rooms.
And she's banging on her door that
she is. He's like, and then
that's the sound it makes in the movie. Like, that's exactly what it sounds like.
And then he comes back and he's a half vampire and he goes,
And then he makes eye contact that just says, you really hurt my feelings. And then he just runs away from the house.
He does. How could you? I'll be back, Charlie. Yeah.
I'll be back for you and your mother, too.
Well, and no, and then he goes out the door and then we see, like, the fluttering of the curtains and the bat sound when he just bats away.
It sounds ridiculous, but that is true.
At this point, Charlie had slayed his pride. And so the vampire was like, I'm going to torture this guy and really get my vampire-ness back.
This movie alternate title was How Greg the Vampire Got His Groove Back.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Jerry.
Is it Gary?
It's Jerry.
In my mind, he's Jerry. Always. Oh, is it Jerry?
With a G.
What is this? Parks and Rec? I can't say Jerry. Jerry's name right?
Well, okay, but think about it. So this kid has called the police on this guy and said, hey, you murdered two women. So if the kid shows up dead the next day, who do you think the cops are going to go to?
That's
immediately?
True.
So like it does kind of create a problem for him to move into a house and his neighbors immediately die.
Okay. Well, the neighbor who accused him of murder.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can see him not wanting to kill this guy.
That makes a lot of sense.
I didn't think about that either, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the deal was his main plan was like, just leave me alone, kid. You should have gave him money or something.
He was short $8 at that point.
So the next thing he does, he's trying to figure out what to do, and then his TV's on and he says,
but yeah, so he's watching Fright Night and gets the idea to go talk to Vincent, Bobo Vincent Price.
And he shows up at Peter Vincent's studio, and Peter Vincent's saying he just got fired. People your age don't care about vampires anymore.
Oh, and they call out slashers here.
I really
do think that was a jab at like Jason and Freddy and all that stuff.
Too.
Yeah.
Because this is an homage to those kind of older classic vampire monster movies.
Like a throwback to those monster movies from like the 50s.
Kind of movies that would be on one of these vampire or
that would be on the show within the movie Fright Night.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I really love about this movie is that it's not making fun of this. It's kind of poking fun just a little bit, but it's like a love letter to those kinds of movies, you know?
I think love letter is the right way to phrase it because it is not making fun of it. There are comic beats, but it really does seem like it really loves those movies.
This is a fun movie.
It really is.
They have a lot of fun with it.
We're laughing a lot, and I feel like it sounds like we're making fun of this movie, but we all really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. To me, this is like really a more adult Hocus Pocus. Like, I love Hocus Pocus.
And it reminds me a lot of Scream, too. Scream is like making fun of the slasher genre while still functioning as a slasher movie.
I feel like Scream does that a lot more effectively.
Yeah, Scream's pretty scary.
But what I'm saying is this is still functioning as a vampire movie. It's so, maybe a little more horror comedy.
So this is two monster movies, what Scream is to slashers. This is to vampire movies.
Yeah, I think so. So he goes to see Peter Vincent. He's asking Peter Vincent to help, and Peter Vincent says, no, you're crazy.
More or less. And then gets in his car and just drives away. And Charlie's like, no, help me, like beating on his car.
Right. And then Charlie hitchhikes to Target and buys all the candles they have. And then goes.
I thought it was just like a Home Goods.
Well, then he tears up somebody's fence. And then
it's his own fence.
It is.
No joke. That's the same fence that the picture falls on a few scenes earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He digs up his own fence and he's like sharpening a stake and Amy and Evil come in. And they're like, what are you doing?
He's profusely sweating, surrounded by candles and garlic everywhere. And he's like, no, there's really vampires everywhere.
Yeah.
Got to protect myself.
And then Evil and Amy are like, what are we going to do? We should probably get an adult, but they don't.
They don't. They switch immediately into humoring him mode.
Yeah. I do love their plan. I love their plan because Amy and Evil's plan, I should say.
Yeah.
Because their plan is to let's get Peter Vincent to convince Charlie that vampires aren't real. And at least that Chris Sarandon isn't a vampire.
Right, exactly. Yes,
because we know when you meet somebody who's delusional, your first thought is like, let's prove them wrong.
Well, they're going to use his delusion against him.
Yeah.
That's not
because
how it works.
They know that he's a
they should get an adult.
They get Peter Vincent.
That's true. And he tried to tell his mom didn't believe him.
Well, that's true. But she's too busy trying to get that.
No, but if the other friends were like, look, your son's upstairs delusional about vampires being real and he's sweating. Also, there's 90 candles upstairs and your house is going to burn down. Maybe she would get up off the couch and like take him to the hospital.
She's focused on getting that CD though. That Chris Dick.
She's borrowed his binoculars and she just cursed by the way.
Yeah, she's checking out that Chris Bulge for sure. Ooh, that man can wear a sweater.
I mean, and a scarf.
Oh, he can. He is dreamy in everything he wears.
Oh, my gosh, and we haven't even gotten to the disco scene. Hold on.
Jen is fanning herself on her.
I've been profusely sweating this whole
time. I was wondering why you moved a fainting couch into the pod loft. This makes sense.
Did
Lost Boys come out before or after this?
Before.
Because Evil looks like the ugly younger brother of Kiefer Sutherland's character.
He does sort of look like
Kiefer Sutherland's character, yes.
I think he looks a little more like Kevin Bacon.
No, sorry. Lost Boys was 87. This was 85.
This was 85.
Oh my God, they ripped off Evil.
Yeah, when they were making Lost Boys, Kiefer came in like, hey, have you guys ever seen Fright Night?
Yeah.
I want to look like the idiot from that movie.
But like super cool.
Like honestly, 10 times cooler.
And can get it. Kiefer looks great in that movie.
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh my God. Jen was like, oh. We record an episode on Lost Boys.
Yeah, my feelings about Kiefer Sutherland are well documented. He can't get it. So then Amy and Evil go see Peter Vincent. And they say, and they're like,
they say, our friend's mentally ill. Can you help us trick him into being well again?
sort of, yeah.
Oh, yes, I remember him. He's insane.
Yeah, he signs up for their plan immediately.
Yeah, he also says, what could be more important than my autograph?
But at this point, He does.
He like a lobster.
Yeah.
I love him in this movie.
He's great. I love him too. But in this scene, we find out that he's having financial problems.
Yes, because he's gotten his eviction notice.
Right? Because he got fired and immediately he's hit hard times. Yeah, yeah. He had put no money, like 80% of Americans. He is also living paycheck to paycheck, no matter what he makes. And he's evicted the day he gets fired.
Yeah.
But he...
for a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. It's a rough day, man. Mm-hmm. So Amy offers him $500 to help them with this plan, which is the equivalent of...
$1,200 in Winky Blinky money.
That
now
is a Jen fun fact for you.
If someone came to you with $1,200 and was like, would you fight a vampire for me for $1,200? Would you guys try it?
I wouldn't. But if someone came to me and said, hey, my friend's crazy, will you tell him not to be crazy? I'll give you $1,200. I would say, yes, I will definitely do that. I will go to your friend, tell them he's not crazy, but he should stop thinking his neighbor's a vampire. And then I would take the check and leave.
Well, and they also said he's going to go try to murder his neighbor, too. So that's
funny. Yeah, which and honestly, that is what Peter Vincent is going to do. He meets them that next night. They go and he is called the quote unquote vampire who really is a vampire. But Peter Vincent doesn't really believe he's a vampire. Mm-hmm. So he literally tells the vampire, don't worry, I'm going to have you drink holy water, but it's going to be just tap water.
Yeah, because the vampire's like, I'm a born again Christian. I don't want any crosses in my house or holy water.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which that's fine. Whatever. Yeah. Religious. He's doing the religious exemption
to try to avoid any kind of religious objects to be used against
him. Yeah. So we'll Peter Vincent pulls up in front of the house and the three kids are waiting there. Yeah. Charlie's Evil, and Amy.
AF, sweating, even though it's outside.
Charlie has just been
here at 6. I thought I was going to be here at 6.
Because it's summer and he keeps wearing sports coats.
I know. Charlie has just finished his half marathon and Amy and Evil meet him at Peter Vincent's car, which is a very nice car for someone who just lost her job and is getting evicted.
Well, maybe he already finished the payments on it.
Maybe. That's what
he's like, I've got to live in this car, so I'm glad it's really nice.
Honestly, that backseat could get it.
He's car poor.
So they start walking over to the house and this is when Charlie's like, what? You're not bringing your box with you? His box of evil vampire?
Your crosses and your wooden stakes.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, no, we're just going to have him. We're going to do a test. I can't kill him until we know for sure he is a vampire. So they have to prove he's a vampire. So they go up there, knock on the door, and the carpenter answers.
Mm-hmm. And the carpenter is like, oh, it's Peter Vincent. Oh, I'm so happy to meet you. I'm a huge fan, which is funny because he kills vampires. So I bet Chris Sarandon and Carpenter don't like him very much.
They know he's not a real vampire hunter.
Well,
I bet they watch his show and laugh like, these idiots don't know I'm real.
It comes on late at night and they can't go out during the day.
But look, exactly.
All of his information checks out because everything he tells people to do to kill vampires is how he kills them.
Well, he even mentions that later on in the movie because he's like, well, everything else that works in the movies keeps working on these guys, so let's keep going.
Hey, I'll go into the house and Chris Sarandon drinks some holy water and is about to...
Well, holy water, quote unquote, it's really just tap water because we know. Holy water, winky blinky.
Winky blinky, yeah. So he drinks the holy water and it doesn't vampire kill him. And then he's about to just smash the vial in the fire and Peter Vincent's like, no, I paid for that. Can I have it back, please?
He's like, yo, I'm car poor. Exactly. You can't go breaking my holy water vials.
Right.
At least they cleaned up the cobwebs while they were gone.
That's true. Charlie's like, no, but I guess it's not real holy water.
Yeah, because Charlie's like, no, that just wasn't real holy water. He is a vampire.
Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you take an actual delusional person and argue with their delusions.
This is why you shouldn't do exactly what Peter Price
is doing.
The
cross.
Right. Charlie pulls the cross out and Chris Sarandon and the carpenter are about to they feel threatened, but then Peter Vincent immediately is like, how rude, why are you doing this? And so they don't notice.
This is where Peter Vincent pulls out a mirror, it looks like
it's his favorite prop from a vampire movie.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
I thought it was a makeup compact that he drops and he picks it up, and as he picks it up he sees everyone except for Chris Sarandon, because their mirror work in this game is on point.
It is. Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
And that's how he knows.
Yeah, and he's like, oh my god, he's actually a vampire.
Yeah, and then he drops the mirror and it breaks and leaves a little piece behind, and then he hustles them out. And one thing we forgot to say in the scene is this is when Chris Sarandon sees Amy, the girlfriend, and is like, oh, you look like someone I knew.
Oh yeah, he had a painting that looks like Amy.
We forgot about that because that happened
somebody
in an earlier scene.
He's known from before, and he starts giving her the eye and getting all feely, and she says, he's so neat when she's talking to you.
Yeah. Oh, he's so dreamy.
He is.
Yeah,
neat.
He is, Amy.
I'm experiencing things in my body I've never felt before. Yeah,
that's when she became a woman.
Yeah.
She met him for the first time.
Yeah.
That's when a lot of us became women.
Oh, how have we not mentioned that in every scene Vincent Price is in. He looks like someone attacked him with baby powder 30 seconds before it started.
Now he looks like has the Snapchat filter for being old on. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because he clearly has like deep brown hair.
Yeah.
And it just like someone took like a can of spray paint that was white and spray painted his hair.
Yeah, and baby powder on his face.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well,
and so when you see him in the older movies, like he's kind of looks young, you know? And so one of the reasons that he was excited to take this role is because the character got to play these different ages. He's like, I've never played a character that old, so he signed up.
I mean, that sounds cool. And he's great in this movie.
He really is.
Yeah.
He's the hero.
He very much is the hero. So anyway, they scurry away, Bobo, Vincent Price, and the kids, and Chris Sarandon walks back in, steps on the broken piece of mirror, mm-hmm. and realizes that they realized that he actually is a vampire.
And now they know we know
Cuts outside. Charlie's like, I know you know he's a vampire. Just tell me what you saw.
Yeah.
Because it seems like he's doubting his own sanity. It doesn't really go into it, but like Charlie's freaking out.
On some level, yeah.
But there's a vampire also, next door to him.
Bobo Vincent Price's demeanor has changed at this point as he's going to his car.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Charlie picks up on.
Peter Vincent tells Charlie he wasn't in the mirror and he's like, I'm not going to help you. And he just drives off.
Yeah, and then he peels out and they got to walk home.
Yeah, he's very scared. So, and they do start to walk home.
This is the part of the movie that confuses me.
Is it because they have to walk home, which is literally next door?
Right.
But they go to like an urban district where there are alleyways?
They're walking Amy and Evil home. They don't live next door.
And this sort of does add up if you think about it, because his car has been destroyed and they don't have vehicles.
Right. She's got that scooter, but they can't all fit on it.
No, it's
not a three-person scooter. But
Charlie is not rational.
She doesn't have a sidecar, Mikey. Right.
None of this makes sense.
I want to ride in a sidecar.
They're like, all right, now that we know he's a vampire, let's go to town.
Well, let's walk home in a creepy street.
I really do think they're just trying to walk Evil and Amy home.
They say that. Let's walk Amy home first. Yeah. So they're walking home, and then Evil gets the genius idea of cutting through a dark alley at night.
He's an evil genius?
He is an evil genius. Yeah, so Evil is in the alley, and this is one of my favorite scenes of the movie.
Oh, this is when Evil cries wolf.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because he screams and he pretends that he got, and then
This is right after they separate. He's like, I'm going to go down the alley because I'm not scared everything, Charlie. Mm-hmm. He sort of like really shames Charlie.
I live on the dark side.
I live on the edge.
Evil.
So he walks down the alley, and then Charlie and Amy walk the other direction, and then they hear him scream and they run back, and he's like, oh, I think you got me. You're going to have to kill me.
You have to kill me, Charlie, by giving me a hickey.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's
Evil.
It's a little
You're
dumb.
The worst. Immediately after they walk away from him, after he pranks them, that's when you see Dreamy Sarandon following behind Evil.
Yeah. I have a problem that this vampire's name is Jerry. It's just really weird.
They address that in the remake.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, that's a terrible name for a vampire.
I mean, honestly, that's why I've been calling him Chris the whole time.
Yeah, he's dreamy enough. He can pull it off. Okay, so he's going to get Evil in the alley. And
I thought it was going somewhere else. But it is the alley, not a part of his body. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so what he's doing, like, Evil realizes that this is not the secret shortcut that he thought it was. And he gets trapped in the alley. And then Chris Sarandon appears right behind him and is about to, well, he's not going to kill him.
No.
Because he says, I know they pick on you. I know, like, nobody's going to pick on you anymore. They're not going to beat you up anymore. I will make sure they don't. All you have to do is take my hand.
Do you think this is a metaphor?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
I really love this because it humanizes Jerry. And he's like, I see, like, part of myself in you.
Like Mikey was saying, I don't think Jerry's a super bad dude. Yeah.
He's really not.
He gives them a chance to not, he doesn't really want to kill anybody that he doesn't have to feed on.
Except those women that he murdered.
Yeah, he murders a lot of women, but. But
so he's a great guy. Like all the guys, he's like, yeah, come on.
I want to go ahead and take back my statement.
No. But I know what you mean, because when they were working on their backstories, Chris Sarandon made an effort to kind of humanize him and make him seem
it does a weird thing because he does seem compassionate for a vampire.
He does.
Considering he murders people. So you have a lot of weird feelings in these scenes because you think Evil and Evil just starts crying and takes his hand.
Yeah, but he does. Yeah, because he's like, everybody does kind of pick on me and they make fun of me.
He has it kind of coming.
And then Chris Sarandon welcomes him to his oversized jacket. And then this is where we cut back to Charlie and Amy walking and we hear Evil scream again.
Yeah, why
and
they're is just Jerry,
like, he's faking it.
Why is Jerry dressed like McGruff, the crime dog?
The trench coat is supposed to be an update on the...
He is dressed like McGruff.
He wants to take a bite out of Evil.
He actually does take a bite out of Evil. Well, no, the trench coat isn't meant to be an update of the vampire cape.
Okay. And he uses it like that. Exactly like that when he bites
evil. In this scene. And that's when we made the joke that it was vampire size.
But it cuts back to Charlie and Amy and they're like, oh, he's just messing with us again. We're not going to fall for that. And then the thunder in the distance.
Yeah. And they see that the fuse box right next to them has been just destroyed and the lights all go out. And then they walk by the club and the restaurant. And
they're chased. This is when they see Chris and he's like, they're like, oh my God, we got to get out of here. So they run away and he starts popping out like it's Three Amigos and everyone's dressed like Chris Sarandon everywhere across town.
And he's been doing all that cardio so he can make it work. He's not sweating.
No, at all. No.
He's the only person who doesn't sweat in the
whole
movie.
And he should be the only one sweating because it's night in the summer and he's wearing a scarf and a trench coat. He should be sweating so much right now.
Chris Sarandon doesn't sweat.
He doesn't sweat. He sparkles.
Oh. He glitters.
Oh. So he changed. He's them into this club. They have to go through the restaurant.
Wait, this doesn't make any sense because how they get into the club is they go down a side street and like the chef is chopping vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And they just jump into the kitchen. Yeah. There's no window or anything.
I think it is a window that's open. And they jump through the window.
Are you crazy kids? You ruined my vegetable soup.
He does look like he is like Mario.
Yeah. Also, who's cooking at this like nightclub?
Well, there is a waitress walking around getting orders and drinks and stuff.
I think it's a restaurant and then maybe there's an adjacent nightclub or something.
No, I think the nightclub's in. I think it's just one of those clubs and I don't know if these exist anymore, but I think it was just a club that served food.
Yeah.
They immediately run to the phone across the dance floor and he's like, what's the number to Peter Vincent? And then
next we see evil show up at Peter Vincent's house.
So we leave them in the club and it cuts to them at the Vincent's house.
Yes, and he's all confident vampire-ness.
I have a problem with this scene because he just got turned and then like how did he get oriented into vampire life?
Yeah, 5 minutes later
like he knows
he's
a
professional vampire.
Yeah. Well, look, in Twilight they can do stuff really really fast
and they're more powerful.
They are,
but he has the information. Like I get that he's powerfully just turned, Twilight rules, whatever. But he's like, I was told to go do this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And I read my vampire guide, and this is what I'm doing.
He's been studying vampires for his whole life.
He sort of has. So like, I sort of get this.
Okay, so he shows up at Peter Vincent's house, and he's menacing Peter Vincent. He's about to bite him, and then Peter Vincent burns his forehead with the cross.
Yeah, and then evil goes, I'm going to tell my dad!
Bones out the window.
Yeah, jumps out the window like a heroin addict, just jumping.
He belly flopped out the window.
For a second, I thought we were going to hear, I believe I can fly, because he's a vampire. Can't he turn into a bat? He can't turn into a bat because his animal isn't a bat.
That's right.
He is the original.
Don't say it.
Vamp hound.
No!
Nailed it.
Moving on.
That word's not important, Todd. Okay.
Then it cuts back to Amy and Charlie in the club, and Charlie is calling Peter Vincent.
And Amy's getting glamored away.
Amy is getting,
along with everyone watching the movie. Chris Sarandon comes in with his sweater. He's taking his trench coat and his scarf off. He's got his oversized neck sweater. And this whole scene is so slow and it's very erotic. And it's like 80s erotic music.
Just let her go.
I'm letting it happen.
Honestly, I've never seen someone rock a potato sack. Which is what Chris Sarandon is wearing. Yeah.
And he comes up behind her. And there's a gif of this, too, where he like takes her hands and he like crosses them over her.
Oh,
and then they start like booty grinding.
That's one of my moves.
She turns back into it. Yeah.
And then he like pulls her skirt up and like starts...
She's getting finger blasted on the dance floor, guys. There is some legit awesome mirror work in this. Yeah.
So they're dancing for a long time. This is the scene that takes a long time that I don't mind so much.
Yeah.
And we were all just watching it and I was like, oh, it's my favorite movie. I love it. Because it's really like she's discovering what sensuality is.
Oh, yeah. She's discovering what true sexual desire feels like.
And guess what? It's not a 17-year-old in a sports coat. No. Sweating.
It's not making out with someone on pillows on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's kind of getting into it too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there's one part like her hair starts to get a little bit more curly.
He takes the clips out of her hair.
And he says, "You're not a little girl anymore." And he throws them off and like smacks a dancer in the face.
This actually does get kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because she's probably 17.
She's only 17.
So what state does this take place in?
I guess that's a fair question. Yeah.
It doesn't say. But there's one point where he's about to bend down and bite her, and then she's like, uh-uh, no, no. And that's when she's like asserting herself in the relationship, and she's into it now.
Oh my God.
And then she's dancing, and they're spinning around in the mirror, and you can see that it's just her dancing, and they keep walking through mirrors, and then she's like, oh, he is a vampire, but I'm kind of into it.
Oh, I like the bad boys.
And this is
is hilarious to me, because this scene takes as long as it takes for Jen to explain it, and this whole time Charlie is still on the phone with Peter Vincent.
What's the rotary dial? And he keeps messing up.
I have no idea what he's talking to Peter Vincent about, because it's going
on. Anybody else in this movie
exactly. I'm a little glamored in this scene. My mind's Chris Sarandon is moving my arms in a cross pattern across my chest,
and
I'm dancing back up on him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have no idea what that punk 17-year-old Brewster's talking about.
And
to
just
Vincent
like
Brett
Amy,
Peters.
He is a distant memory to us. Until he comes up and he says, Get your damn hands off her.
Yeah.
And no, he kisses her. He goes, Get your damn hands off her.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just kisses her.
And then we said, oh, that's a power move. And then Charlie tries to punch him, and he just nonchalantly grabs his hand, and that is the power
move.
That is the baller power move right there. It really is. And he starts to like crush his hand and gets him down. And that's when I wonder how Amy will ever be able to go back to Charlie.
She can't.
She's a combination of Chris Sarandon being so dreamy and that power.
And wearing a potato sack.
Yeah.
The funny part about that is because when I see scenes like that, I often like think about what it was like to film those scenes. Mm. So how many times did Amy get punched in the ear because Chris missed grabbing his hand? Because he's not looking Charlie. He does it blind, which is really impressive and makes the shot really cool. But Amy definitely got punched in the ear like 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm. Unless there was a mirror. Sorry. So this is where the scene loses me, because Jerry the vampire says, hey, I'm taking your girl, and you can come get her tonight. And
Just call me Mr. Stew, your girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Stew, your girl.
Well, he says, I don't want to kill you. I want you to bring Peter Vincent to my house.
Yes.
And then
because we're going to get real weird tonight.
Which sets up the plot for the rest of the movie. Also the bouncers come, and instead of Jerry just being like, sure, I'll leave the club, he just murders both of them.
Yeah. Well, actually, then the bouncers come to get Charlie first.
They
because
do.
Charlie throws the punch.
But Charlie, of course, is like, okay, I'll leave.
Yeah, because he's a 17-year-old child in his 45-year-old father's jacket.
Yeah, and he's presented with authority. And so then we've got Panic at the Disco, because everybody is trying to run out, and the two minority bouncers are getting attacked by Jerry.
So he murders the two bouncers, and then that sort of ends the scene as they retreat to... Charlie goes to get Vincent Price, or Bobo Vincent Price, to go back to...
Because in all of the chaos, they've been separated, right. And Chris Sarandon saves Amy from getting stampeded and puts her in the vampire van with the Carpenter and Evil's just like Evil-ing out the window.
It's a Jeep Wrangler.
So then the next thing we see is Charlie. I've forgotten all about him because Chris Sarandon's so dreamy. So we see Charlie at Peter Vincent's house trying to convince him to help him. And this is when Peter Vincent has his big scene and he says, I'm really afraid.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. He knows. And Charlie's like, yeah, but Amy's going to die. And
at this point, he's like, how do you not understand that I am an actor?
Yeah.
This is not my real job.
This isn't even my powdered hair. I'm 20 years old. Yeah, but he does convince him to help. And one thing that I read in my research was that Roddy McDowall used the Cowardly Lion as kind of a template for...
Oh, I can sort of see this.
Yeah,
this is the denial of the call. If you're like reading
the hero's story structure.
Yeah, this is like when he denies the call to help, which is a very, very common thing in a hero's journey, quote unquote.
It is.
And it's great. It's played very well. He does an amazing job in this whole movie, but especially in this scene.
Mm-hmm. I love this movie.
He's great.
Of him. Yeah.
But eventually he does go offer to help.
He like looks at Charlie. Charlie's sweating in the corner. He's like, this kid's never going to do it.
He looks at this point like he's on meth. Like he's sweating so much. He looks like he is 3 days deep into a meth binge.
Yeah.
He has a bottle of water. He's like, you need to hydrate.
If we're going to do this.
So the next scene is when we have Amy on the rug with Chris Sarandon. So I'm going to let Jen explain it to you because it gets real sexual.
It really does. Yes, she wakes up and she's wearing this dress, like this new dress.
It's super hot, man. That white dress with no bra.
It is, yeah. Oh. And so he comes in and he's like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can actually describe this. So they're like kissing and kind of like... You know,
yeah, tell me more, Jen.
They're having some fun rug time, and there's one point
it is
where you see from behind You see from
what do you see from
point of view? See hit the back of his head, and he's kind of bending over, and then she kind of jerks up a little bit, and you think that he bit her.
It's not.
And then you turn around, and you see he hasn't bitten her. That was something else that he was doing that made her kind of jerk up a little bit. Woo.
It's the first time she's ever been touched by a man, Jen.
Jen makes this scene, and it's a sexual scene, sound more sexual.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's... I just imagine a little 8-year-old me watching this scene. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this what grown-ups are like?
It is.
Yeah.
But then he does eventually, she takes her top off and he does eventually bite her
on the shoulder. Yeah. I don't understand what's up with the shoulders. Why do they bite shoulders?
I feel like they were just trying to like,
it's not tickly on the shoulder.
Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, so she is starting the turn process when Vincent Price and
she's getting sex turned.
She's becoming a woman while Vincent Price or Bobo Vincent Price and Charlie show up.
We should say she is a high school student in this movie and that is not okay.
And he's a 2000 years old.
I know.
Well, I don't think they actually have sex, for the record.
No, yeah, you're right.
She probably got finger blasted by him and then bit. But
still
there
wrong.
Was no,
still not good.
Not that.
Right. That's fair. That's fair. This is when Peter, Vincent, and Charlie show up.
Charlie's outside about to go in, and then we see Peter Vincent, and he says, Peter Vincent, vampire killer, reporting for duty.
And he's got his cape and all that crap on.
And he pulls out his gun that was a real prop in Orgy of the Damned.
Was it?
Yeah.
Does he say that?
Yeah.
I feel like most orgies are pretty damned.
Pretty damned awesome.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I got to give it to you. That was pretty funny. But I also am obligated to roll my eyes when those kind of jokes come up. All right. So then he shows up and they're creeping up the steps and they make the creep on the steps. And they're like, well, what? We can't go in the front door. Let's sneak in the back. And then the door swings open. He says, oh, it's too late. So then they walk in.
I love when you act out the movie because you do a great job.
So they're on the steps and Peter walks in and he's like, welcome to Fright Night. And he's saying it like Peter Vincent does. And then he goes and leans against the banister and he says, for real.
He's so dreamy.
He is so dreamy.
I love it.
Oh my gosh, I know. Everything he does in this movie, just like eat it up, man. Peter Vincent's got his cross and he says, it doesn't work if you don't believe, which is where I first learned that that is true. And I was confirmed when I read Salem's Lot because that is true.
But then he crushes that with his hand.
Because Peter Vincent doesn't believe, but then Charlie does believe, and so he backs up. But then we've got Carpenter on the back.
Yeah, Richard Carpenter comes up. He's all like,
"Oh my!"
And they're telling him, "You back up, or I'm going to shoot you." And they shoot him in the forehead, and he falls down.
Yeah, you think he's dead because up to this point, every scene we've seen him in, he has been human.
Before they shoot him, they do a little foreshadowing here because Charlie's like, "Well, what if he's a vampire?" And Peter Vincent's like, well, we've seen it in the day, Charlie. Duh.
Yeah. Stop being so stupid, Charlie. This is why Amy went with the man.
Exactly. Yeah. This is when Peter Vincent decides he likes Chris Sarandon too. Yeah. So anyways, and then Chris Sarandon.
It's like one big nightmare that Charlie has one night. It's like a night terror. That's why he's sweating the whole time.
His neighbor moves
the emasculation of Charlie. Yeah.
The hero's journey is that he gets up the nerve to have sex with his girlfriend.
He definitely denied that call in the first scene.
Okay, so then Chris Sarandon runs away, and we see Carpenter sitting up, and he's Terminatoring up the steps, and they keep shooting him, and it's not stopping him at all.
And this gun puts out more smoke than, like, a smoke machine does. It's
because
insane.
Because it was an Orgy of the Damned.
Okay.
That's how it works. They end up stabbing him through the heart with a stake.
With the fence.
Yeah. And then he starts green melting all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think I understood that, but it was a cool effect.
It was really cool. And it dissolves his entire body and his skull, like, scoots across the floor.
Every vampire in this movie dies differently.
Okay, so I have a fun fact about this. When they were filming this scene, he still had all that green goo on him, and they didn't have time to clean it off before he had to go. And he had to stop and get gas at one point. And he came out getting gas with all this green goo stuff on him.
He looked like he went on an episode of Double Dare.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So he gets boned, and then they go up and find Amy, right?
Oh, no. Carpenter, I think, has pushed Charlie off the steps, and then Peter Vincent runs out of the house to get help.
Right.
And then Chris Sarandon picks Charlie up and goes and dumps him on the rug with Amy.
And then locks him in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry just comes down and beats up Charlie, and then Peter Vincent just runs away.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't become the hero yet.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And so then Charlie turns over Amy and sees that she's a vampire, and he goes, no!
That was so funny.
I know. I
oh my God.
Yeah, because it's a little ridiculous, but everybody in this movie just commits to it.
Oh yeah,
it is.
Everyone knows what they're supposed to do and they execute it perfectly,
they,
I think.
Yeah, and they know what kind of movie they're in.
Exactly. Yep. So yeah. Peter Vincent runs next door to Charlie's house to get Charlie's mom to help or maybe call the cops or whatever. And he actually goes to the phone and picks up the phone. And it's like, operator, because he's from 1945.
Right.
And then he realizes that
the, on the line.
He realizes that the phone has been disconnected or cut or whatever.
Wait,
phone
line cut. He goes up the wire. He's like, oh no.
Oh no. And comically then he goes realizes. Up to Raggedy Ann's room. And then
you do
bed,
like redheads.
I do really like redheads. You're right. So he shakes Raggedy Ann, who this is not
shakes
even a
Raggedy rolls her.
Yeah, it's it's not even a convincing wig. It looks like a Raggedy Ann, or like a mop. It looks like a mop.
It does look
anyway,
like a mop.
But it's
like
evil. Yeah, it's evil vampire. And he's like, ooh, I cut the phone line. And then they have this fight between them. And then Peter Vincent runs out of that room and falls down on the sort of the
on the awning.
On the awning, there's right a, before the, like yeah. the chandelier and living room.
Too, like a little hall table, and that's where he gets the table leg that will eventually become the stake.
Yes. And we realize at this point the reason evil didn't turn into a bat when he jumped out the window is because his animal Patronus. Is a wolf. His Patronus.
His Animorph.
Yeah, his Animorph is a wolf. So he runs out as a wolf and starts running at him.
But only in slow motion.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately for him.
Unfortunately for him, because it seems that Peter Vincent can go regular speed. He just stabs him as he falls over him and goes into the chandelier and then falls down. Yeah. And this effect was really good of him sort of stabbed. It was sad because it was a wolf. But it was he was stabbed and then transforming back into a human. It was done pretty well.
And it was a long time and you could
it was a
like,
very long scene.
Because they keep going to the next stage of his makeup, you know. But and every time you see he's really hurting, he's in a lot of pain, and he's sad, and he's kind of pleading, don't kill me. And I think this is when Peter Vincent like really kind of comes into his own as a killer. And he's
as the boy cries dying on the floor, Peter Vincent goes, yeah, I love killing.
And I remember the foot of this scene. Remember they show the foot transforming back into a human foot?
Yeah.
It's done in one shot. It looks great for 1985.
Does. And you see the monster with a human hand reaching out too.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I remember when I was little, I did not like the scene. This
it was
my
pretty spooks.
It was, well, I don't like this kind of body horror thing, which is like when we were watching The Thing. This is just not my thing. This time I'm watching it, it's an emotional scene too.
Yeah.
So I really like it. And it makes me like Evil's character. This scene and the scene in the alley makes me like Evil's character.
Yeah,
a
Evil
lot.
Cries. Why? Like there's tears running down his face the whole time in the scene.
Yeah. Anyway, so he completely transforms back and he's just sitting there naked. And Peter Vincent pulls out the stake from his heart and walks to the other house. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I killed a teenager. I can take out Jerry.
Yeah,
but he is sad about it too.
He is
like
sad
you
about
can
it.
Tell
yeah.
that he's affected. By
he's
it.
Like, you know what? Vampires are trouble. I'm going to go get rid of them.
Yeah.
I am a vampire hunter.
Killer.
So anyway, he goes to Dry Ice House now and walks in the front door ready to kill Jerry. He walks up the steps to where Amy and Charlie are there, and Charlie's awake, and he's like knocking on the door.
Yeah, Charlie's
and
locked in that room.
Yeah, Charlie walks over to the door that's locked, and Peter Vincent is like, hey, make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and break down the door.
I think we're a little out of order, but yes. So they end up breaking Amy
because the carpenter's still alive when he does
that. Right, because they're hearing that from the vent.
Oh, shit.
But that happens.
I think Ed dies first before the carpenter.
Yeah. Well, so Evil this Ed. Is when they go over, and they're all on the steps, and Chris Sarandon smashes through the big stained glass window at the top of the
steps. Because he was outside like lurking around as they were saving Amy. Well, not really saving Amy, but unlocking the room so they could bring her
Here's
out of the room.
Here's a critique of this movie. He should just stay inside.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he goes outside. House.
Right, like, Jerry, you don't have to peep outside the window. You can just come inside.
Maybe he's afraid of the cross.
Maybe he just wanted to jump through the stained glass window, which honestly
I would do
sort
it.
Of leads to his undoing.
It does, because we keep seeing the cloudy night behind him, and then we cut back and it's all of a sudden dawn.
Well, this is like the shots between Peter Vincent and him as he breaks the stained glass window. Peter Vincent has his cross there and he's like, that's not going to work on me, but it slowly starts to work on him because
Peter Vincent now
starts to believe and he believes that the sun can shoot lasers because
the sun laser shoots him.
It laser shoots him through the window.
Yeah, he gets sun lasers.
It's insane.
He gets shot by a stray shot from a stormtrooper up on Endor.
Lasers do travel on forever.
They do.
And it wasn't a galaxy a long time ago, far, far away. That does check out, guys.
So he gets laser shot.
I need someone to take like one of those laser shots and just continue to cross the galaxy and then just zooming in and hitting him. Because then Jerry turns into a fruit bat and flies around and tries attack him.
But it's like a gross like skin flute bat. Not skin flute.
Skin flute? That's a penis.
Okay, so then he turns into like this gross wrinkly skin bat.
He is attacking Peter Vincent.
Yeah, but he keeps getting shot by the sun lasers and that's what keeps getting him away.
It does. Yeah, and eventually he just flies down to the basement, right?
Oh yeah, exactly. And we missed the part like when they were upstairs, they're like, oh, if we kill the main vampire, your girlfriend will be fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like that's an important plot.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so then we realize that we are halfway there. And the only way to live on the prayer is to go down in the basement.
Take my hand, we'll fucking make it, I swear. All right, let's move on. So they all go down to the basement, and Amy is following them.
Yeah, and she's just like,
Amy is super hot at this point.
She's transformed into a woman.
She has
full on redhead, no bra.
Extensions.
It is real nice.
This doesn't look like the same actress.
It is the same actress.
It is.
It is not all of the same actress because
some aspects of her have been enhanced.
Chest plate on. And she said, I read somewhere that she would take that to conventions and let fans feel it. Like, not while she was wearing it.
Okay. I was like, I have to go to conventions.
Right. This whole time, that's what it is. Yeah. She's very seductive and trying to seduce Charlie. And she's like, you want me now, Charlie? And then when he's not buying, he's like, you're a vampire. She turns away and she's like, you didn't want me, Charlie. So she's trying everything she can to try to get him.
When he like says, no, as Peter Vincent is trying to open the coffin that's been locked from the inside.
Yeah. Call the locksmith!
But not really, because he breaks the lock.
You can break locks, Mikey.
Yeah.
Anyway, so while Charlie's like, no, get away from me, she goes full on faceplate.
Like vampire
mouth.
Yeah,
like this mouth was really weird. But she starts like attacking him, pushing furniture around the basement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Vincent Price does break into the coffin and takes a stake and hammers it into the armpit of Chris Sarandon.
Yeah.
He definitely had his chance and swung and a miss.
Yeah.
It's like in The Simpsons where he nails it into his crotch.
And you would think someone who's been on a show about killing vampires for, I don't know, 80 years.
Or anybody with basic knowledge of human anatomy.
Yeah, would know where the heart is, but he does not.
And so then Chris Sarandon just like ballers up out of the coffin, standing up the whole time, and just pulls the stake out and tosses it away and says, fuck you, stake. When he's throwing his stake, I'm not exactly sure how this happens, but they break a window. And
yeah, he breaks a window with the stake he throws.
Right, and it's a window that we see the carpenter early in the movie painting it black.
Yeah, Richard was painting it black.
Here's
for sure.
The carpenter is a handyman. Man, but he's very wasted here. They should have bricked up these windows. Your life depends on having blackout curtains. Just brick over the wall.
So Chris Sarandon throws the stake and it hits the window and creates a small hole in the window.
And we see a sun laser.
Right. Sun laser comes through. And so Charlie starts breaking out all the windows while he's running away from Amy, and all this light's coming in there, and it sort of traps Sarandon in this like light.
And he's attacking Peter Vincent. At one point, they all just start breaking all the windows and just throwing shit all over the basement.
Anyway, so they eventually get back by the coffins again.
Yeah.
And this is what I didn't like about how he died. Yeah. The coffin is right next to a curtain, and the curtain is covering up just a huge fucking window.
I know that hasn't been painted over.
And also, where is the sun in the sky? Because it appears to be shooting through every window, and that's not how light works.
Yeah, if you've ever worked nights, though, that's how light works.
I stand corrected.
Well, so Charlie comes up and rips the blanket off of the light, and it just sun blasts him against the
wall. This is the one thing Charlie does to help anyone in the whole film.
And honestly, he clutched it.
Yeah,
no, I think Peter would have turned around and just ripped it off.
Yeah, Peter could also just moved it slowly and been fine. Right. Yeah, he sort of cherry picks it. It's like a guy who just stands by the goal and someone passes in the puck and he like just elbows it.
Look at me, I won the game. Yeah. Like, I killed the vampire.
Gives him an assist.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so then he's burning and melting at the same time and he's dying. Oh, and then Amy turns back into herself and she's like, where did my extensions go? I should get extensions.
Where did my tits go?
I know. And everything's happy.
Yeah, and then that's more or less the movie, right?
No, it cuts to the bedroom. They're making out in bed, and then Peter Vincent is on the TV again. He gets his show back and he's decided to show other other movies besides vampire
he
movies.
Has.
Yes. Yeah. And he even calls out Charlie in a nice little show shout out.
Well, and so if you look at it as him earlier when he gave that dig about the slashers, now part of his hero journey is to accept change and to kind of embrace the horror genre as it evolves.
As a whole.
And then
they finally have sex.
We assume that they do. And then we have seen a for sale sign in front of Jerry's house, but then we see red eyes in the distance and Charlie sees it. And then Amy wonders, oh shit, is this whole thing going to happen again? And he goes, no. And then they jump back into bed and they start rolling around. And
then you hear evil.
Which and we see the red eyes glowing.
Makes sense, because if not, the body of a 17-year-old boy was in Charlie's house last week and no one said or did anything about it or anything like that.
They don't address that at all. And that's okay with me.
And also, at this point, evil would be human again.
Right.
But that's the movie.
And that's the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Roll credits.
Do you want to know what the original scripted ending of this was?
Yes.
Originally, what was going to happen is when Peter Vincent is giving that shout out to Charlie, that he turns into a vampire.
Wait, what?
Wait, who turns into a vampire?
Peter Vincent.
I don't like that ending.
Yeah, that's why they changed it. Implying that he got turned into a vampire at some point.
So let's talk box office, guys. So this movie cost anywhere between $7.5 million and $9 million to make. Both of those numbers showed up when I was doing my research. But it made roughly $25 million, which is pretty great. That's like almost $60 million nowadays.
It was the highest grossing horror movie of the summer.
Oh, yeah?
And it was the highest grossing horror movie of the year, second highest behind Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
But
yeah, it did really well. And the studio didn't expect it to do very well at all. Also, the studio didn't care about it while it was being made and just left them alone to make whatever kind of movie they wanted. And I think that's part of why it's such a great movie, because they know what kind of movie they're making and they went all in on it.
Yeah, they definitely made that movie. Jen's fun facts.
So they ended up having two extra weeks to rehearse this. And so what they did was they started reading through it on a stage. And this is when he had them write all of their backstories. So once they started filming, it didn't take very long to film because they'd already worked a lot of the movie out.
Stuff?
Yeah, and they'd already worked out their characters and everything.
I would pay money to read Charlie's backstory.
Yeah, I would like to read everyone's backstory on this, especially Jerry's. I bet it's very sensual.
Oh,
his is very good.
Too.
I mean, Charlie's is just like, I have no idea what he did.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like he didn't do his homework and he's like, I wear coats.
If you want to know more about this kind of stuff, there's a documentary about the making of this movie called You're So Cool, Brewster.
I'd watch that.
I would too. Yeah. Charlie Sheen auditioned for Charlie.
That
would have worked way better.
And didn't get it?
I don't know. I like William Ragsdale.
That's amazing. No, Charlie Sheen would have been so much better.
I don't know. He's kind of insufferable.
It would have been better.
We talked about Peter Vincent's name, but Peter Vincent and Tom Holland, who's the director, who also directed Chris Sarandon in Child's Play, Roddy McDowall and Tom Holland became like lifelong friends and ended up at a dinner party with Vincent Price there.
What?
At one point, and Tom Holland introduced him to Vincent Price. And he was like, yeah, you were great in Fright Night. I loved it. It was like an homage to my character. Yeah.
That's cool. Amazing.
I know. It was a really cool story.
That has to have been such like vindication for
Roddy McDowall.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. Yeah,
that would have been awesome.
So there's a remake there was a couple of years ago.
2014,
that I really liked. I don't like it as much. We'll do it at some point.
Colin Farrell is the vampire.
But there's also a Bollywood remake of this.
What?
I know.
Can we watch that? Do an episode on that?
My
bonus
sister
episode?
And my niece and nephew are super into Bollywood movies.
Are they really?
So when I go visit them, we'll occasionally watch them. They're hilariously awesome.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about the effects, but the contacts that they wore were like back when contacts were first being invented, and they were super painful because they had to be so thick.
They honestly look a little thick. Thick like Chris Sarandon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well. So...
Jen just went to her happy place.
I did. But there's one point where Chris Randon's only wearing one because they couldn't stand to wear them for very long. Evil wore his for like 40 minutes at one point and had scars on his eyeballs for like months.
Jesus.
And at one point, Amy had contacts in and they hurt her so bad and they realized they hadn't like buffed the contacts. So the contacts were like a huge deal. Chris Randon also helped with his own makeup because he had to be in the chair for like 8 hours to do it.
Oh, man.
Okay, so they did have a sequel. And my Jim Ferratu, like my avatar on, it's from Fright Night 2, from the movie poster, because it's a lady vampire. It's a really similar story, and I've only seen it once, but they're in like a high-rise building, and it's a lady vampire, and Charlie's in college.
It's the sister of Jerry comes to kill the people who killed him.
Yeah?
I think you're right. Did you just look that up?
I did.
Yeah.
Nice. Well,
so that's what the sequel is. William Ragsdale, who's Charlie, and Roddy McDowall were in it, but everybody else was busy because Amy was making Married with with children, and I cannot believe we haven't talked about it until now, but she was Marcy Darcy on Married with Children. Yeah. She was making Married with Children. Chris Sarandon and Tom Holland were making Child's Play, and Evil was making 976 Evil. Do you guys remember that movie?
No.
It's like this old horror movie.
I've heard of it. I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, he was the star of that movie.
Huh.
He also ended up doing some hardcore gay porn.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that trench coat really messed him up.
Wow.
He never came out of that alley. So anyways, so the sequel did well. Okay. They were going to have a third sequel.
Really?
They had planned to have a meeting with the studio executives, Mr. Menendez. And before they meeting, it was the Menendez murders. And that's why they didn't have a sequel. And that's why the second remake went straight to DVD straight to video. Yeah, it was right when that happened.
Wow. Okay.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, that's my fun fact.
Oh, that's all your fun facts?
Yeah, we did.
Let's do the scary scale.
Our scary scale is a ranking of how scared we were when we watched this movie. It's not a quality of the movie ranking. It is how scared we were when we watched it today. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All right, Todd.
I would say a 1. I wasn't scared at all during this movie, and I thought it was great.
Ditto.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you enjoyed it because I knew it was going to be campy, and you just never know.
I love camp, though.
Yeah.
It's campy, well, but they're so bought in. It makes it good.
It's camp
it's
with
love. It's executed very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's a love letter to heart.
So 1-1 from Mikey.
Yeah, I give it 1-1.
Okay, now 8-year-old Jen would have given this 8-10.
That's not how the scary scale works.
How it works.
Why don't we bring in 8-year-olds to watch films with us and let them rate it?
I'm out.
That's Mikey's spinoff podcast. I'm going to give it a 1, too.
1's all around. Yeah. But I don't think the point of the movie is to be scary. And I think they nail what their objective was.
They really do. Yeah. And it's really, I love this movie.
We watched Fright Night this week, Jen. What are you guys making me watch next week?
I'm going to make you guys watch the sequel to Happy Death Day.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Death Day to you.
Well, Todd and I are going on a Valentine's-esque date.
Aww.
Yeah, we're going to go see it together.
Yeah, Corey and I already went to see it together on a Valentine's date, an actual Valentine's date.
Yeah, and Todd and
did
I
you see it on Valentine's Day?
No, we saw it on the weekend Valentine's Day, which what people with kids do when they have.
That's fair, yeah. I loved the original. I can't wait to see this one. All right, guys, so watch Happy Death Day to you. Go see it in the theaters. It's out right now. Go see it. The episode will drop next Monday. You don't want to miss out on the hilarious episode.
Hilariousness.
That will ensue. If you want more Horror Virgin in your life, guys, go to horrorvirgin.com or find us on our socials at Horror Virgin on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We actually just started a Facebook group.
Yep.
So look for our Facebook group. It's awesome. A lot of great core members in there having a lot of fun every day. So check it out.
Please, and if you're somebody that hates Facebook, I hate Facebook too. And I have just joined, and this is the only thing I'm a member of.
Honestly.
That and the cult podcast group too.
Well,
and so if you don't like Facebook, you can still join the group and just not do anything else.
That's sort of what I do.
So join that. We've had like horror questions of the day. Yeah, it's been really fun.
And people sharing what their favorite movies are and favorite gory movies or favorite scary insecty movies.
It's actually been pretty fun.
Yeah,
it has been
getting into social media with you guys has been like, I've learned Twitter. I feel like I'm like learning Twitter.
Yeah. So if you want to follow Mikey on Twitter, now that he knows how to tweet, it's at mrandolph24 on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Jen is at Jen Ferratu on Twitter and Instagram. And I am at Todd J. Awesome on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So follow us there.
Yep.
Also, I mean, obviously at Horror Virgin on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And of course, that Facebook group.
So everybody go to our website too. We mentioned it earlier, but we've got links to our merch store and we've got links to the blog too.
Actually, merch is like 30% off right now.
It
I'm not
really
sure
is.
If it is when this episode drops, but right now it is. If you guys want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/horrorvirgin. We got a lot of great perks there, a lot of great exclusive Patreon stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get to help pick what movies we watch.
Yeah, a lot of me watching trailers.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff is only available on Patreon, so make sure you guys check it out and sign up if you like.
If you are not able to support us on Patreon right now, just leaving us a 5-star review and really just listening, downloading, and telling as many people as you can about the show really helps us out too. We're really grateful for that.
So we are starting a thing where we're going to read a lot of the 5-star reviews.
Yeah, we did it last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did it last week. And this week, Carlos Moll.
It's Carlos M-O-L.
Oh.
That's why it's all caps.
Carlos Moll.
He says, 5 stars. Listening to the funny one and Todd discuss horror movies.
Boom! Vindication!
Thank you, Carlos. At least you guys are mentioned.
Aww. We made Mikey read the review that doesn't even mention.
Discuss horror movies is great. In all honesty, anyone is equally funny.
Everyone.
Everyone is equally.
You learn about things you may not have known, comma, and you get a lot of laughs when you don't expect it listening to a horror podcast.
No, like every time you hear Mike, you read a review.
I look forward to Mondays when I get a notification that a new episode was downloaded. Exclamation point. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you very much, MLL. Carlos, for both the lovely review and pointing out that Mikey can't read.
Thank you, Mikey, for reading that review for us. If you would like to get Mikey to read your review in the weirdest way possible.
Please leave us a 5-star review. We will read your 5-star review on the podcast.
You can read them on your phone. Hey, we are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. Check out all of their fantastic shows on that. And that's going to be it for us, guys.
Yeah,
thank
guys, that's
you
it
so
from us, guys.
Listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror virgin, Todd, guys. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Oh, geez.
Bye.
We're halfway there.
Whoa!
Find out on a prayer. Take my hand, move it by making us swear. Find out, living on a prayer.
Nerds.
Did you leave that?